You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Luke Elder, Andrew Mount and Greg Forsyth in the studio. It's at Nottingham, Cartmel and Fontwell on Wednesday afternoon. Chelmsford and Ripon play host to the evening action on the domestic front, and we've also got racing over in Ireland from Punchestown as well, so plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Andy Holling. How are you, sir?
Morning, Mark. Yeah, pretty good, all things considered.
Good, good. Start with a bit of news on this, as we usually do, and then we'll move on to the action on Wednesday.
Yep.
We now know the field for the Derby, well, the entries for the Derby.
Yep.
It's going to be the richest ever race run in Britain, and one of the most open renewals in recent years as well.
Yeah,
we haven't figured it out yet.
I think so, yeah. Certainly figured out a value bet in the race. Whether he's the winner is open to question, but we had a real good discussion here last night, myself, Dave Kellner and Craig Forsyth. We haven't through this race quite extensively, virtually every runner. And I come to the conclusion, I thought Red Verdon was the value pick at his current price of 25-1. The fact that four horses have been supplemented at 75,000 a pop. Aidan O'Brien's got seven left in it. It's 4-1 the field. You know, it's about as wide open as you're ever going to get. There's no standout performer. So I thought Red Verdon, improving through the ranks from an informed stable, despite his seemingly impossible task on the official figures, I thought was one to consider. His time at Chester suggested to me, regardless of his rating, that he was at least as good as US Army Ranger, based on my numbers. He did virtually identical time, furlong per furlong. I know there's a day difference and the rails are slightly different. I think it's about a 20-yard difference, but you could argue that the ground got quicker on the second day, so that kind of offsets that argument. There was literally 0.1... second of a difference between the circuit times as well. They carried the same weight, so like I say, well, there wasn't any advantage either way weights wise. So if you're just a ratings man, you think, well, one's won a handicap 80, the one's won a group 3, there's no comparison. But when you compare the times, Red Verdon is at least as good as US Army Ranger based on my numbers.
Yeah,
and he won with plenty in hand as well, whereas US Army Ranger was all out.
He's 25-1 in the market as well, Red Verdon.
Oh, he's a massive price.
Yeah,
he really is.
And it's one of those years, normally you'd say a handicapper can't improve that quickly to have a decent stab at a Derby, but it's one of those years where there's no real standout, is there?
Well, the thing is, people just get a stigma in their head, don't they, with handicappers, but when they're three-year-olds, they improve from all angles. I mean, you've got Ulysses and Wings of Desire. He won a maiden at Wolverhampton before winning at the Dantee. Ulysses has won a maiden at Newbury by 8 lengths, of which his time was no good, and yet he's a 7-1 poke. So I think it is one of those years where you've just got to use your imagination. Particularly me, I use my numbers to help me find a value bet. And I think he's got a massive chance. He's already proven over a mile and a half. There's no doubt about his stamina. There's lots of ifs and buts about a lot of them. He's a beautifully relaxed horse. You know, superb big race pilot on board, Sylvester D'Souza, already booked.
Yep.
There's a lot to like about his chance, and it's not as if you're looking at, you know, single figure quote. He's 25-1.
Yep, very nice. What about the Phillies version and the Oaks? Minding even money favourite there. Didn't really go to plan last time for her, but is she still the one to beat for you?
Well, she has to be, didn't she, on what she did in the 1,000 guineas. There was slight doubts about the trip. Did she have a hard race at in the current? Well, she did, but she's a kind of constitution to take that. We'll soon find out. It's just not the kind of horse or better like I like to have at even money in a race like that. I'll much sooner back something each way and have a bit of a run for my money. I thought Skiffle was the one in that race. I thought she was impressive at Goodwood. She probably would have won first time out with a good break, but it was a good educational run. You know, Godolphin have supplemented her. They think she's good enough.
Yep.
Looks a wide open race, apart from the favourite. She's one of the most likely improvers.
6-1 in the market for Skiffle. She's been the one for money as well since they supplemented her.
No great surprise, because it's beyond the first four in the betting, it's not a particularly strong race.
Would it be the kind of bet you'd look at without minding, just in case?
I'd just back her each way, yeah.
Fair enough. All right, a bit of news about the weather as well in Epsom. Mm. They've managed to miss the torrential downpour, so hopefully it won't be too soft, but they have had a bit of rain, so it's going to ease a little bit as they're going.
Yeah, I saw the forecast last night. Bit of a shock, really, considering we were basking in 22 degrees yesterday. I thought it was going to be set fair for the whole week, but then there's this weather front coming up from the southeast, which kind of like hovers over the arc round the bottom area. It doesn't get sort of beyond Birmingham, sort of anywhere from that way downwards. He's going to get showers as we speak today. They've already had a bit overnight, but then it's going to subside and go back towards the Atlantic and further away. So we should be all right from there on in. There's going to be bits and pieces throughout the rest of the week, but nothing in any major quantity. So whatever they've got, you'd like to think that'll settle itself down now. Mm. But he won by the Red Verdon anyway.
No.
He's already won twice on good to soft ground.
Yeah.
So either way, that's not an issue for him.
Good. Massart, by the way, has been kept in the French Derby because of this weather, although it might have been softer in France anyway, but don't read too much into it is what connections are saying. It's just a backup should it absolutely tip it down at Epsom.
Yeah, I wouldn't be absolutely guaranteed Massart will get the trip. He hasn't quite got the speed to be effective over a mile against the very best, although he did finish second in the Guineas. That might sound a strange statement, but I backed him in the Guineas, and I just think he's that like one relentless gallop. He's an interesting contender for later in the season, particularly when he gets a mile and a quarter. I think races like the Champion Stakes, Newmarket, and those kind of distance, maybe the Eclipse might play into his strengths. But at the moment, mile I'm not sure, and a mile and a half I'm definitely not sure. I think he is somewhere in the middle horse,
right? So a mile and a quarter.
All
right, fair enough. Royal Ascot not too far away, Andy, as well. Bit of news today that we won't just have Aidan O'Brien training there. It looks like Joseph's going to have his licence in time for Royal Ascot as well. You think he'd make a good stab of it as a trainer?
Without a doubt, yeah. And, he's already won a Triumph Hurdle in his first season, technically.
Exactly, yeah.
With Ivan, it's Gorbachev. As we've seen with Lundy, who put it up to Aidan's horse, Peace Envoy at Nice on Sunday. He certainly knows what he's doing with the flat brigade. I mean, he's ridden so many top-class horses. He's basically been force-fed brilliant horses all through his life. He knows what he's looking at when he's buying horses. He's obviously going to have a lot of money to throw at the board. He's young. He's enthusiastic. Because he's been a jockey as well, he knows the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably better than most, so... Yeah, he's an exciting addition, isn't he, to the training ranks?
Certainly, yeah.
It will be interesting the next few years how that kind of like balance of power goes, whether, Aidan is still getting first dibs, if you like, of all the blue bloods, or whether Joseph gets a few quiet ones out the back of the hand.
Mm.
But yeah, I always liked him anyway as a jockey, even though many punters used to decry him and he wasn't on their short list of favourite jockeys, but he was always good to me whenever I backed him. So I've got a bit of a soft spot for him, really, and I'm likely to have a soft spot for his horses as well, judged on what we've seen so far.
Yeah, Lundy, you mentioned there as well. That's one of the horses he's going to target at Royal Ascot. The other one likely to be Ambiguity. A couple of two-year-olds for him going to Royal Ascot there. Anything else at Royal Ascot whetting your appetite at the moment?
I've had a few bets. I think I'm in between now and the Royal meeting, so I get a chance to preview it all again. But for those interested in what I've backed Antipost, I've backed Profitable for the King Stand. No reason to suggest his performances so far this season have been a fluke. His times are good. He's got great Ascot form. He's beat the best five furlong sprinters around. He's 8-1. I thought he was a big price steal for the King Stand. I've backed Earth Drummer for the Royal Hunt Cup at 25-1 based on his run in the Victoria Cup when he was very unlucky. Anyone who hasn't seen that run, I urge you to go back and watch the video. And then you'll probably agree with me that if he does get a run in the Hunt Cup, he's got to be a major player. And I've backed 2 2-year-olds, both in the same race. I've backed Caravaggio and the Alta for the Coventry. Both of them have done two very quick times for two-year-olds at this stage of their career. I think they'll both run. And, of course, they represent stables that have got a great record in the race. Buretier won it last year for Mark Johnson, and Aidan O'Brien's won it 7 times in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So best to stick with the top train of their best two horses, which are Yalta and Caravaggio.
Anyone who has listened to your podcast as well will know the numbers you had for Caravaggio.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the Coventry as well, because you've not just got those two you mentioned. Psychedelic Funk, I think, is very interesting.
Yeah.
Maymas over here has been pretty impressive so far, and I think he's better at six than he is at five.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's warming up.
Absolutely, to yeah. It's always a good race at Coventry.
Yeah.
You know, best two-year race of this season, run so far. We should get the best horses there. Probably be a field around about 12, 13. That's an average, isn't it?
Mm.
We've seen some good smart two-year-olds well this season, particularly visually and on the clock, so... Yeah, looking forward to that race.
Yeah,
from a financial perspective, and just to view it as a punter, as a bystander.
Yep. Some great racing coming up over the next few weeks. We've got all that to look forward to. We're going to concentrate on Wednesday's action next to Andy. He's got four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, we'll spin through these in time order. We start in the 3:30 at Nottingham, and this one is a Class 2 handicap over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older, a field of nine here, Andy. And I imagine that your fight's going to be one of them towards the top end of the market. Arrives here in good form, previous course and distance winner as well. On the shortlist for you?
Yeah, it has to be, yeah. Yard's in great form. He's been finished second, and a good one at that in a good listed race the last day. Hayed up beyond So Beloved, who once again ran well the other day. When he chased home in the Brave at Haydock. So the form collaterally has worked out really well. You know, the fact that he finished in front of horses like Marquez and Coolstream, absolutely so, suggests he's right on top of his game. That was seven furlongs. He's definitely better over a mile. He's got good form around Nottingham. He's won there before. If they get a drop of rain, which I think's forecast, that won't bother him either. And he's got Jordan Vaughan to take five off, which obviously eases the burden. I think he'll be favourite and he's the most likely winner. But I've got a bit of a soft spot, and this is definitely going to be a cliff horse for me, and that's the Warrior. I thought he was a huge eye-catcher in the Victoria Cup when he sived his way through the field from an unpromising position to finish never near eighth. He was a much better horse than that position suggested. And then he went to Goodwood the other day, and it was rather an odd ride by Ryan Moore. He dropped him out the back, gave him plenty of chance, but he over-egged it for me, and consequently never really got in the race behind Can't Change It. But he's definitely better than that. And I think the step up in triple suit him. He's got the tongue tie on for the first time, which is interesting. Perhaps Ryan's come back in and said he's made a noise. Whether that was just an excuse to bail him out of trouble, I don't know. But either way, Amanda Perrin's fallen for it. And he still remains an interesting runner for me. He'll definitely pick up a decent pot somewhere on the line, because his talent is been hidden under a bushel at the moment. So yeah, those are the two I'd be interested in that race.
If I'd force you one way or the other?
Well, it's difficult because prices is all what I'm about, really. So, you know, if the Warrior's been overlooked and he's completely missed in the market, which his form figures suggest he will be, then I might go with him.
All right, keep an eye on the market then, see if the Warrior's an attractive enough price. If not, go with your fired?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, on to the 4 o'clock at Nottingham.
I thought you were sacking me then.
You're fired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On to the 4 o'clock at Nottingham next. This one is the Nottinghamshire Oaks Stakes, a filly's listed race over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older. Field of 12 here, Andy. Quite an open renewal of the race as well. It's a tricky one to figure out, that you've got Group 3 enlisted performers that I've kind of disappointed a little bit, and improving handicappers coming into listed company. So how do you weigh it up?
Yeah, that's pretty much how I saw it as well when I went through this race this morning. I wasn't particularly struck by anything, to be honest, Mark. So I've gone back and trying to rely on the race at Goodwood. I think that might produce the winner in the shape of California and Sagaciously. They finished fifth and seventh respectively behind Carnacki in a Group 3 contest. It was run at a sound pace. Figure was good. It's full of the same kind of horses that often run in those races. This is a lot weaker for me. I didn't think there was a great deal of strength in depth. As you mentioned, a lot of handicaps, a lot of horses have been running disappointingly. A few that haven't had a run this season. Difficult to assess. So at least these two come from informed stables, having run well in a good race, and Sagaciously herself has gone on to win next time out at Doncaster. So if you gave me a two-bet split stakes project on the race, I'd probably go with those two.
Just want to get your thoughts on the Sir Michael Stoutrunner as well, Intimation.
Mm.
Progressive towards the back end of last year. Obviously, this is tougher, and was a little bit disappointing on reappearance, but could she have needed that run? She needed the run first time out last season, so
yeah. You know, the fact that she was favoured in that handicap of Michael 90 suggested she'd been doing some nice things at home. Wasn't a bad run, he'd beaten three events by Night Owl.
Yeah.
You know, those handicaps are definitely really devilishly difficult to win. And, you know, you've only got to look at the horses that are finishing around the front two or three that day. A horse like Revolutionist have won since. Strong Steps has run well subsequently. You know, it was a decent heat and the time figure was good. So in a race where there isn't any standout performer, she's entitled to respect.
Okay. Let's move on to Chelmsford City next for their 7-10. This is a Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds, 11 of them here, and quite an open race here as well, Andy. There's a few informed, unexposed runners coming into this, though, so who's on your shortlist?
Yeah, it's a wide-open race. I thought this was probably one of the most trickiest races to solve on the day, let alone on the card. You've got quite a few of these coming back off good runs on the turf. The ones who haven't run so well on the turf have got great all-weather form, so that clouds the waters even more. A few of them have very lightly raced and are open to a massive amount of improvement, such as Muzdam and King Cole. I thought this was a trappy one. Obviously, the betting's going to be the determining factor which way I go probably in the morning when I look at the prices. But as it stands here, my shortlist of three would be Reflector, Secor and Muzdam. Reflector's been a model of consistency so far this season. He won a couple of starts ago in a very quick time at Thirsk. He got beat at Chester next time out, but again, he ran well in a fast time beyond Justice Angel. And I think there's a horse out of that race which won the other day. Outback Blue finished eighth, has won subsequently. So his form is definitely worth a look. And of course, he's got some good polytrack form. I wouldn't totally give up on Secure. He's like his sire. Is an all-weather performer. His two poor runs in between times have been on the turf, but he won well at Lingford and Kempton respectively, and he's got the hood on. And I was really impressed with Muzdam the other day when he and the Godolphin runner Silent Attack pulled well clear of a good field that day in a maiden in a quick time. And I thought a mark of 82 was quite interesting for him first time up. And he ran well on debut on all-weather, and he's by exchange rate, the American sire. So he should be absolutely ideally suited to Chelmsford here tonight. So those are my three. Again, without seeing the prices, my two out of those three would be Reflector and Muzdam.
Couple against Phil Frandy there then in the 7-10. And we finish off in the 8 o'clock at Ripon. This is the Director's Cup handicap over 6 furlongs, a Class 3 event for 4-year-olds and older. We've got 14 of them in the lineup here, Andy. And we'll start with Red Pike, if we may, who ran a blind at York last time.
Did, yeah. Behind See the Sun, if my memory serves me correct. Again, those York handicaps are devastatingly difficult to read on the day, and I think the form can be a little bit hit and miss thereafter. It was a good run from a potentially bogey draw. I think he was drawn on the inside in track one. He's got a much better draw here today. High numbers definitely are favoured at Ripon when the ground's on the quick side. He's drawn 13 of 14, whereas quite a few of his fancied rivals, particularly Duke Cosimo down the foot of the weights, who ran well the last day, he's drawn stall one. So he's got a big advantage. My only slight reservation with him would be at track form at Ripon, which is very much a specialist track, as we all are now. To my reckoning, he hasn't run here in 22 career starts. So, you know, that is the only thing that slightly tempers my enthusiasm with him. But other than that, he's got perfectly commendable prospects. I try to find another couple. Perhaps I thought Adam's Elm was an interesting one. And he has got some good course and distance form. It's just these three runs this season haven't really resulted to a great deal. That six behind Avon Breeze back here at Ripon suggested that it is at Ripon that he revitalises his competitive juices. And I think, like I say, just in isolation, if you look at his Ripon runs, his last four starts here have been second, second, fourth and sixth. Even when he's been out of form, he's still managed to run to a good level. He's just one from a high draw at a big price that you could look at just to give you a little bit of fun there.
All right, interesting.
So, there's a couple. There's just, again, a couple that catch, but again, another very, very difficult handicap. You've really given me four nightmare races to get my head around. I think if I have one winner out of the six or seven I've mentioned, I think I've done well. But there you go.
Yeah, give you a challenge every now and again.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think doing a Rubik's Cube in the dark, I think, is easier than finding these races, finding the winner.
Well, on that note, let's get your selections
okay.
in a summary.
Yeah, if I can remember them all. We started off at Nottingham, where I quite like the chances of the Warrior in the 3:30. I thought the two to concentrate on in the 4 o'clock at the same venue were Sagaciously and California, out of that Goodwood race. Then that race at Chelmsford looks a devilishly difficult affair to get your head around. There was a couple that made a little bit of appeal there for me. They were Reflector and Muzdarm. And over at Ripon, in that really difficult six furlong handicap, quite a lot of the chances of Adam's Ale and Red Pike.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Will do. Thanks, pal.
There you go. The thoughts of Andy Holding on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Luke Elder, Andrew Mount and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Cartmel, Fontwell and Nottingham on Wednesday afternoon, Chelmsford, Ripon and Punchestown in the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.